It is a privilege to, an honor to come back to the pulpit for a moment and to seek to glorify God with His Word. As you turn to Scripture, as you turn to Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. Let's prepare our hearts and let us pray. Gracious Father, Heavenly Father, You are the thrice Holy One of Israel. Holy, holy, holy. And we thank You, O Lord, for adopting us, for grafting us onto You and Your people, that we may seek to glorify You, to live by Your Spirit, to look to Your Word, Your living Word as Your written Word. To uphold the faith. To love one another. And to rest on You. Father, be with us during this time. Bless the hearing of Your Word. Bless the preaching of Your Word. O Lord, strengthen our wills. Sharpen minds and hearts. Comfort us, O Lord. Hold us. Let us be still in Your sight, in Your presence. We ask You all of this, O Lord, in Your Son's precious, perfect name. Amen. Hear the reading of the Word of the Lord. On that day, when evening had come, He said to them, His disciples, let's cross to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took Him with them in the boat, just as He was, and other boats were with them. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, and the boat was already filling. But He was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke Him and said to Him, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" And He awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey Him?" This is God's Word. is inerrant, infallible word. This is not a tale. This happened. This is a marvelous, worshipful experience. The church of the living God was born in a storm. Think of that. The church was born in a storm. God's called people were born being led out of Egypt, led to a promontory. The waters parted, the great storm. God's New Testament people were born in a great storm, a great social storm, a great political storm, a great religious storm. Men hated Christ. They hated God. And thus, the church was truly born in a storm. But it just wasn't born to weather storms. It was born to find victory over them through the faith of Christ. That's why the early church fathers picture this boat as the church. That's what they said. The church is pictured as a boat. Now, much of that reason comes from this wonderful and awesome text that we have to share this morning. Now, this sermon is not about God's punishment. It's about testing. It's about trial. It's about proving His people through temptations of the evil one, through temptations of the world, through temptations of our own flesh, yes. But God is proving us, proving His people through this time. Now, He doesn't test us to learn about us. He knows all about us. God knows us like our Father. He knows us. He knows every thought, every intent, every dream, every anxiety, every fear. He knows it, and He loves us still. He holds us to Him. He tests us so that we may know, so that we may learn. There are things that we have done, and He has aided us in much growth, and He tests us, and we learn our growth. But He also tests us, He tests the weak points. He tests us so that we'll know our soft spots, where He is strong, our our sin, from His holiness. So that we might learn more about His character and more about His faithfulness. The Bible says in this life we will have tribulation. We will have trial. And the psalmist says in 119, I believe this is David who says in Psalm 119 that he regards, we guard our afflictions because they lead us to the Word of God. They lead us to hope. They lead us to strength. Not to fear them, not to hate them, but we are used by God, strengthened by God to go through them. And one such time is this. He says in verse 35, he says, on that day, and 36, he says, forgive me, 37. He says, I'll get there somewhere. He says, let's go, 36, let's go to the other side. Let's go to the other side. Through to the other side. In order to get there, you got to go through something. And in that lake, in that sea, in order to get to the other side, they were going to go through something pretty bad. And they didn't know, but he did. They're going to be led by the mighty hand of God. Now this promise implies something very, very strong. That he is going to get us there. Now we tend to forget God's big promises through Christ. We tend to forget sometimes when times when we're so frightened and so desperate or so sorrowful. Sometimes we forget that Christ is our resurrection and our life. We can forget that for a moment because we're weak. We can forget that he is our living bread. We can forget that. We can forget for a moment that he's the way and the life and the truth. We can forget that. So these seemingly minor promises, oh, let's go to the other side. Seem almost like you're off the cuff. And yet Christ knew. Christ knew. Because this great storm was wrought to teach them and to teach us that we persevere only because God preserves us. This was what you might call the perfect storm. A phenomenon. A storm so strong and so sudden, it surprised them all. The temperature, the high and low pressure, I'm going to play weatherman for a moment. The temperature of the high and low pressure, the cold and warm fronts, the elements, thunder and lightning, wind and rain, all of these pieces falling together into the Sea of Galilee. It's a large lake. It's about 14 miles long, from 4 to 7 miles wide, depending on where you are. It's over 100 feet deep. About 160 feet deep. And it's in a deep bowl. It's 600 to 700 feet below sea level, below this rounded geographical area. And you can see the hills and mountains all around it. Hills 1,500 feet, 500, 1,500 feet, mountains up to 2,000 feet. So when the wind rushes down these mountains into this circular range, it can take on a whirly-giggy sort of effect, which is very deadly. And a storm can come instantaneously. Now, these men were born on this lake. They were raised there. They apprenticed there. They knew this lake very well. And this storm was terrifying. It was truly a phenomenon in their eyes. All the elements. It's like taking a massive jigsaw, taking it apart and throwing it up in the air and it landing piece by piece and fitting back together again. A phenomenon. A phenomenon. So we have a great windstorm arose, verse 37, a great windstorm arose and the waves were beating and breaking into the boat. So the boat was already filling. In an instant, the breeze was as mighty, and wind slammed against the sides of the boat, tearing the sails to shreds, tossing this little boat back and forth, starboard and port, fore and aft, dipping and bending and turning, and the waves coming up, and the boat cresting up, and other waves, solid, huge, solid waves. And then letting the boat go and falling down, plummeting down into the ocean again, the Sea of Galilee again. rocking, crashing, being hurled like a toy. And yet, not one man was thrown overboard. The ship going through those gyrations, and they were all being kept. I've got a question. With all that violent heaving and tossing and turning, all this power of the water smashing into the boat and filling it, what did they have to hold on to? They couldn't hold on to stuff. Stuff was flying overboard. Too slippery. Too full of water. Too violent. What did they have to hang on to? Well, I believe it was the mighty hand of God. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Such grace in our lives when we have so much tumult and pain and fear. But what could they remember? This is sort of an odd question because, you know, when it's panic time, you know, nobody's going to say, "Do you remember?" Nobody's going to do that. And perhaps we should at that point. The scripture says, "Remember the old times, the former times of old. For I am God, and there is no one else. I am God, and there is no one like me. I will remember the works of the Lord. I will remember the wonders of the old." I wonder if pictures of Noah flashed by them, being led through a great flood, locked in by the Lord Himself, locked in by the hand of the Lord Himself. His ship lifted up, charted, guided, steered, empowered, docked, all by the power of God. Do we believe this? Do we know this is true? I believe it. And sometimes, even in our panic, it's good to try to remember important things which are going to keep us stabilized. By the Spirit's hand, Moses was led to the promontory. Waters parted. And 2 million people thereabouts, 2 million people walked through a wall of water, dry shod. Did they remember that? Do we remember things like that when we're panicked? Not just rainstorms, not just water trauma, but just things in life. Do we remember deliverance? Do we remember what God has done to His people, for His people? Do we remember what He did to us, for our families? Do we remember? Do we hold that to our hearts? Because when we do, or rather, when we rely on the Holy Spirit of God to embrace us in such a way that He will imprint on our hearts memories, reasons why we can trust God through a tough, tough time, that's going to help. It's not your memory. That's important, yes. But it's the Spirit's work on your memory. It's the Spirit embracing the Word, bringing that Word to your memory, empowering you in that memory, and holding it down, holding you, so you can trust. Well, they're going to learn later about trust. They'll know that. So they, in this panic, they turn and they see the Lord. This is really kind of funny, I'm sorry. But they see the Lord resting. Water is coming, pouring in, rushing in. The boat's being crushed by the waves, by the wind, rocking. And Jesus is sawing logs. Jesus is lying there on this cushion, deep asleep. And I don't think it's necessarily because he was tired. I'm sure he was. But I believe something is happening here. They are seeing the dual nature of Jesus Christ. They are seeing Jesus, the perfect man, the very man of men, at perfect peace and rest. We just sang about that a little earlier. Perfect peace and rest with his Father. In communion. Scripture says, if you lie down, you will not be afraid when you lie down. Because in peace, I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell safely. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell safely. So they find him sleeping. They see that proof. Here he is in complete communion, resting in the arms of his Father. Just as he's resting on this cushion. And then it's sort of ironic here. Because nothing can assault our angst and sinful, selfish flesh. When we're in a turmoil, when we are so upset, centered on our little tempest in a teapot, we are so bummed and so frightened, and we look over and we see true peace and true rest. Angst and fear do not mix with the peace of God. That peace of God must conquer them. And it does. Well, they say, teacher. Now, they're not just saying teacher. They're probably, and I won't scream because the mic's on. I don't want to blow any ears out. But they're probably screaming at the top of their lungs because they can't hear themselves think. Teacher! Don't you care if we perish? I don't think I'd call that a prayer. And yet I prayed it. Don't you care, Lord? I may mutter it. I may think it. But it's out there. It's in my mind. It's my intent. And that's so sad, because that breaks God's heart. That hurts. Don't you care if we perish? It's good to pray. But when we are the object of the prayer in that way, that is no good. That's so tragic. They could have said, borrowing some scripture, that they were men of the word. Awake! Awake! Put on your strength, O Lord! O arm of the Lord! As in the ancient days, just like you used to. Awake, Lord. Get up. I mean, that's rough enough. But no, they cry out accusation. And they cry a word which is really not, it's really not a friend to the Christian vocabulary. There are four words, when used improperly, are enemies to the Christian mind, to the Christian vocabulary. And those four words are you ready? I, me, my, and mine. Those words hurt. They can break God's heart. Our faith is not a me-centered faith. It's focused on the Holy One. Yes, we ask Him to help us. Of course, we ask Him to help us, but we don't accuse Him. We don't accuse Him when we can't wait for Him to help us. Wait, oh my Lord. Wait on the Lord, oh my soul. And He will comfort you. He will guide you. He'll teach you. He'll lead you. We're in the same boat they were in. The same boat. We've gone through a whole lot of stuff in the last year and a half, 2 years. We've gone through much. Gone through the fear and the dread of pandemic. The fear of political strife. Social turmoil. The fear of the world looking at us like we're evil and they are good. Of course, the lead word for all these little phrases is fear. Fear. Fear is a hijacker. Fear is a kidnapper. Fear, we can turn fear into a giant who will hijack hope. Kidnap faith. Try to. Do its best to. And we allow it. We allow it to grow out of proportion. And because we are looking to it, we bow down to it. We worship it, making deals with it, rather than turning to a holy God, asking Him to quell that fear. You know, the most often commanded command in the scripture is, are you ready? Fear not. Why? Because we fear. We're changeable, and we get scared, and we can be so like a little autumn leaf, shaking, quivering. There was a time in my life when I was so afraid of life. Of course, I'd be afraid of death, but I was terrified to live. I was terrified to walk across a bridge if there was any wind on the bridge. Because I knew, and this is the truth, I knew that that wind would blow me off that bridge. Because I was light. I had no weight. I've since then been saved from that. You've been saved from much, being taken from a land of fear and despair into the land of life and hope, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of His beloved Son. So, He then gets up and says something amazing. He rises. And the other three Gospels say that he rises. I forgot that one point and thought, well, what if he just didn't rise? What if he just sort of rolled over from his sleep and said, peace be still, and rolled back? He could have. He didn't have to show anything. He didn't have to prove anything to anybody. He didn't have to stand up and direct the waves, but he did stand. He did rise. And for the second time, in the history of this world, nature heard the voice of God. The first time he said, let there be. And now he's saying, peace. Be still. And one creature, nature, is obeying and bowing before its maker in order to help another fearful creature. Us. Them. Peace. Be still. That's hard for me to get around my head. That's hard for me to understand. He stands up in the boat and says, peace, be still. And in an instant, as fast or faster than all this terror had started, it stopped. The sea is not even rocking gently, as seas, as lakes will, after a great turmoil in them. They'll keep rocking back and forth gently, but they're rocking. And it can take a long time for them to be still. No, it was like glass an instant after he commanded nature. No wind. Not a breeze. And then he turns to his men. After they've been with him, they were there at his baptism when he was ordained by God the Father through a work of the Holy Spirit coming down like a dove and just sitting on him to validate his ministry. John the Baptist bowing down before him, the great man of God bowing down before him. All of his incredible preaching and healing. All these things, his time in the wilderness with the evil one and being victor. Winning that war for us. Weren't they there? Yeah, they were there. What were they thinking? My mother would always say, and Jody's mother too, we have a lot in common here, they would say, what are you thinking? Don't you ever think? Why, I'm tempted to tell what am I thinking when I don't remember what Christ has done and who he is? She said, don't you know? Have you no faith? And then they realize after the calm, they talk to themselves and they say, he's right there. I love this. He's right there with them. And they look and say, who is this? They can't stop themselves from asking, who is this? Who is this man? The Son of Man. The Son of God. The very man of men. Very God of gods. Sitting there in the boat with him. Worthy of all worship, all praise and honor. I'd like to have been on the seashore. I really would have liked to have been on the shore of Galilee after this rough, horrendous weather. Not a long time, but it was rough enough to really terrify and leave memory for a long time. And to see out of the the fog and the wind and the cloud, low cloud and the thunder and the bucking and see this little crippled boat come in shore. Full of water. That boat should have sunk. Full of water. Mast down, quite possibly. Sail shredded. All caved in. And there's a guy there standing, and there are all these other guys who are on their knees. This is what I envision. This is what I think happened. They're on their knees, all around him. Are they praying? What's going on? What happened? Of course, the weather, but that boat's still up. The sail can't guide the boat in. The sail's down. There's no wind to bring the boat in. It's coming in. What's going on? And they're there. In the presence of the master. One thing I'd like to add is that very wonderful phrase when he says, peace and be still. I think I'm going to die on this hill. That when he said peace and be still to the weather, he was also saying peace and be still to them, to us. It's a wonderful, call to worship text. Be still and know that I'm God. Know. Be certain. You're living with it. You understand me from your heart. And it's a kind of knowledge. It's a love knowledge. It's a very tight, close, relational knowledge. Be still. Be still. Give up. It's the picture of being arrested, being held. All you kids who have memories, remember being younger babies, maybe not babies, but maybe young enough to when you're just full of maybe feverish or agitated or fearful or something happening in your life, and you can't contain yourself with fear and angst and trembling. And your mom or your dad or your grandma or your granddad picks you up and arrests your little body. It holds you. Holds you tight out of love. Makes you be still. Gives you peace. It's a force of love. That's what he's talking about. Peace. Be still. And that's what the psalmist is saying. Be still. Be still. Be still. Be still. I'm going to hold you. Be still. Know. Know me. Know my work in you. Through all the turmoil, all the stress, all the fear, all the angst, all whatever you're going through, be still. And know that I am God. And they knew he was God. Maybe not entirely completely. But they knew a lot more now than they did earlier. And later on down the pike, Peter has the Spirit-filled wisdom to say, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the cat was out of the bag. So be still. Whatever you're going through, read this. We've all gone through some rough times this year, this 2 years. Read this. Read this by faith. And know that you can be held by him. And you can be still, and you can know. Is he your God? Is he your God? You can know He is by coming into His presence in the still from the swamp, from the wind, from the weather, and embrace Him or be embraced by Him. I know He's your God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are so happy that You're our God. Without You holding us, we would fly off this world. Without You, the power of Your mighty hand guarding us, embracing us, we would not know what to do. But by that outstretched arm, by that mighty hand, by that wonderful, gracious will of Yours, we can gain an understanding of Your holiness and Your power, Your goodness, Your glory, and know Your God. And give You honoring, reverent, God-fearing, wondrous worship, O Lord. Be with these Your people this week. Hold them in Your hand. Still them from the storm and all the storms that are going to come, because we know they will. But we have You. And we thank You, Your Son, Your Spirit. We ask You all of this, Lord. We plead all of this in the name of Your dear Son. Amen. And now if we could... now if we could turn to hymn...